Hey, Geekscapist, Jonathan the Podfather here. And when I first started Geekscape back in 2006, it was just a podcast, but then it grew into a podcast network and a community. And the whole plan was to turn it into a production company so we could make cool films and TV ideas and all sorts of stuff for you guys. We'll always be doing the podcast, but right now I want to let you guys know that we're running a Seed and Spark campaign for one of our first original productions. And this is a co-production with Dweeb Darlings and Fonco Studios called Stalking LeVar. It's a continuation of the web series Stalking LeVar. If you go online, go to YouTube or dweebdarlings.com and look for Stalking LeVar, and you guys will find a pretty fun two seasons of this show. We're going to make a short film out of it, but we're going to need your help. So go to seedandspark.com, search Stalking LeVar, as in LeVar Burton, and you'll find our project. Listen, if you can't donate, it's okay. Just follow and share. That'll help us out a whole lot. And then if you can donate, as some of your fellow Geekscapers have, we'd appreciate that too. The campaign's going to be running for a while, so I really, really appreciate you guys checking it out, and enjoy the rest of this show. And welcome back to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week we talk about a movie in which a guy gets sent to the electric chair and comes back to haunt the person who caught him. No, we're not talking about Shocker. We're actually talking about House. No, not the one with the Asian girls and the man-eating piano. No, also not the one with the greatest American hero. No, it's technically not even House 3. We're talking about the Horror Show. We're talking about the Horror Show from 1989. Welcome to Horror Movie Night.
That's a great presentation of what this film is. So, Matt, let me take the reins for a second. Why did you pick this pile of shit?
So, I love the House movies, and this one was the hardest one to find for a really, really long time because it's technically not a house.
For good reason.
So the story is... So, I always thought that they made this movie and then named it House 3 to market it in other countries, but it's actually the opposite. It was made to be House 3... And then they were like, this is way too dark and graphic compared to the other two movies, so it should be its own entity, but it was still advertised as House 3 in other countries. And I agree that this movie is way more dark and mean-spirited than House 1 or 2 is. But I remember finding it on FearNet and watching it way back when, and I loved it. And then Scream Factory did a Blu-ray release and I purchased it and I loved it then. And then I watched it for this and I still love it.
Jesus.
Now hear me out. This is a thing that I realized, and we'll get into like the step-by-step for the movie, is that I think that if you took the first hour of this movie and the last 20 to 30 minutes of Shocker and combined them, it'd be like a decent movie. Because I think that this movie's better at the start than it is at the end, and I think Shocker's better at the end than it is at the start. But I had a blast watching this movie. It's so balls to the wall. It's so randomly gory that, but without any purpose of it being that graphic. I really like this movie.
This and another movie that's going to be coming out in the next few weeks were the toughest ones to do for this fucking show, and I'm so upset that they're on it because, like, I can do a show if I leave a movie and I'm like, that is the worst piece of shit I've ever seen. Or if I'm like, this is one of the best movies I've ever seen. But I left this movie just like, okay. Like,
yeah, it's not like the worst thing that we've watched as a group, for sure. But it's just so mediocre. Even the part that you're talking about that's so gore, the parts that are so gory, they're just like kind of tableaus. They're not really... gore effects. It's just like,
I think it's just that it's so like the blood is so chunky in this movie. Like, like, does that make sense? Like when he
yeah, I know.
So the movie starts off with this home video footage
of Lance Hendrickson.
Was anyone else waiting for Tuesday's Gone with the Wind to start playing?
Yeah, it looked like the opening to Happy Gilmore. but like, there's this very hard to hear disingenuous background noise during that entire scene. Like, it's just like off in the distance, just like, yeah, Dad, play with the dog. it was almost like they shot it in silence and they're like, fuck, we need to ADR something in this. But then the very next note I have is the old head in the deep fryer bit. I love this opening scene where it shows how he captures this dude. Because he's like, you know that I have some weird love for like fast food / diner massacre sequences. Yeah. So like, there's like the body parts in the deep fryer, and then there's the cop's head on a plate that says the blue plate special.
Okay. Movie straight up.
But then I have this quote written down, and I hope that I get this perfect because it's my favorite piece of dialogue delivered in the entire movie. It goes, Luke, I did the best I could. I was scared.
I wonder if all three of us have that because I don't have many notes, but that's one of them. I did the best I could.
I actually have the part right after it when he goes, I'll nail his fucking ass.
But yeah, his partner gets killed. It was Meat Cleaver Max, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, he gets. So this guy's like such a ridiculously evil person. It makes no sense. Like,
yeah. He killed 100 people, Scott.
Man, but just this. So dumb. Like, I get it. I get that this is supposed to be cheesy and everything, but, like, he has no motive. He just likes to kill.
Yeah. Well, and then he, like, so he's got this woman hostage, and he decapitates her and throws the head at Lance Hendrickson, and then the head starts screaming, and he wakes up, and it's a nightmare, and his wife rolls over to check on him, but his wife is Meat Cleaver Max, and then he starts choking his wife out. Yeah.
And then his wife is far too cool with him choking her out. So probably not the first time he's choked her out.
But then we get, like, this movie, this is the plus that this movie has versus Shocker. If you recall with Shocker, it takes about 45 minutes to an hour to get to the electrocution scene, but this one, 10 minutes, we're in there. He is so crazy while he's getting, I think one of his quotes, he goes, this thing's giving me a hard on, like, yep. As he's being electrocuted.
Yeah. I have that note. And then, increase the voltage, shithead. Yeah. I'm coming back to fuck you up.
Yeah. Well, and then you find out, and this is later on in the movie, but it's so fucking absurd that he had a homemade electric chair that he was using so he could practice electrocution.
Yeah. So he could up his ante, like he was watching Princess Bride.
Not so tippy. I've built an intolerance to iocane powder.
I just wish this movie went full on comedy and just ripped off other comedies, like the Happy Gilmore intro, and then this just straight out of Austin Powers. They just kept trying to go, you shot me! You shot me right in the arm!
So he made a deal, according to Wikipedia, I don't remember this part, but according to Wikipedia, he made a deal with Satan that he would get vengeance. So it really is Shocker.
No, actually, that's just Shocker. That's what bothered me so much
is it's so irrelevant. It would be one thing if it's like, oh, this guy isn't dead. He's still killing because he built up an intolerance to an electric chair, but he didn't. He died. It is his spirit.
I like how this upsets you.
Then his spirit rises out of his body, which is like pretty stellar.
It's actually better. The electric ghost effect in this movie versus in Shocker is so much better, which makes no sense because Shocker absolutely had a better budget than.
Yeah, it came out the same year. That's the most bizarre thing. Is yeah. It's not even like it's a ripoff. It just happened to come out the same year.
This is my guess, is that one guy wrote a screenplay, two studios wanted it. He was like, nah, neither of you give me enough money for it, or you don't want to do my vision. So like, okay, fuck you. We're going to do our own vision of your vision. And they did it the exact same year.
The next line I have, because I skipped a lot, there's like, then they move into the house and then it kind of gets really slow for a bit. And that's like his daughter. has her boyfriend hiding out in the basement, and they're gonna do some things. But then Max's spirit gets to him first by pretending to be the daughter. And that's when she goes up to her little brother, Scott, and he turns around and he goes, "Never sneak up on a man, blast the Metallica."
Okay, a couple of things here. One, the daughter is Kmart Leah Thompson. I don't know why I have this written down. Okay, first of all, I said Scott is a little shit with awful hair is a line that I have written. I mean, not a line, but I wrote that down as a note because that kid's annoying as fuck.
Yeah, he sucks.
Awful. He does not deserve the name.
When he always gets free stuff from like lying about things, I think that's like something they established early on.
But that's also so uneven with this movie because, you know, fast forward to the very end of the movie, we get this weird chuckle fuck ending where it's like, here's a lifetime supply, a year supply of chili, Texas chili. But yeah. I don't get it.
The movie ends, and then there's like 5 more minutes of scenes where I'm like, I don't know what this, like, you're waiting for a jump scare or anything, but it's just like, hey, our son's still alive. Look, it's a cat. We got free chili. Bye.
Yeah, I think that actually ups the interest value for you because I know that you like it when things are fucking weird. But okay, so I have a note here that says, I just want the doctor to be like, my body is a map of pain. But I don't know what doctor we're talking about.
You're talking about the guy who looks like he is like Jeffrey Combs in Training. That's like the psychiatrist that tells Lance Hendrickson.
Oh, 1980s Justin Long. That guy.
Shut your mouth before I fuck it.
Yeah. So they, so the dad goes downstairs and the kids see him go downstairs and he starts screaming at the furnace, but they think that they're screaming at the girlfriend's boyfriend. And then the girl hasn't heard from the boyfriend in a couple days and they're having a nice turkey dinner.
Wait. Before you get to this, I have a line that stupid asshole said. Kmart Leah Thompson is down in the basement with her boyfriend, and he like jumps out from behind her clothes or something. That, you know, because they have like a bunch of racks of clothing in the basement, which is a bad idea in general because moths are just going to eat them, or the killer ghost is going to wear them and pretend to be your girlfriend. But so she like gets him all hot and bothered, right? She like makes out with him and she grinds up against him. And by the way, she's 17, which really makes that shower scene super fucking uncomfortable later on. So she says, is it her or is it the boyfriend? But somebody says it gets better the longer you wait. Oh, she says that. And then he like looks at her all flustered and is like, well, bigger anyway. And I'm like, okay, buddy, that's not how science works.
Okay, so that kind of ties into the stupid quote that I have written down from Scott when they're sitting at the dinner table. And she's like, yeah, I haven't heard from him in a couple days. And I forget what girl it is, but we'll just say Tiffany. He's like, he's probably been talking to Tiffany. She's always like, look at me. I got the big boobies.
What is it with little brothers in these 80s movies we watch? God, they're obsessed with their sister's breasts. We all have sisters, right? None of us want to see our sister's boobs.
No. Mm-hmm. No. So this leads to probably the best moment in the movie for its pure what the fuck. It's the only moment that feels like it's part of a house movie is that Lance Hendrickson looks at the turkey and the turkey's got Meat Cleaver Max's face on it.
And not even a good job.
Yeah, it's a shitty ass puppet. It's just like,
yeah.
So stupid. Your
family's dead.
It's like a Family Guy joke.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Voice sounds like the Crypt Keeper because they've like toned it up so much to sound like it's coming out of a turkey.
Even when it's not supposed to sound like it's coming out of a turkey, his like, his laughter is just obnoxious. Obnoxious.
We get to deal with a lot of his laughter in the very next scene because basically he's trying to set up Lance Hendrickson to be crazy. Yeah. So they're all watching, as families often do, just sitting around watching the HBO stand-up comedy specials. But in his mind, Meat Cleaver Max is just telling Rodney Dangerfield jokes.
Dude, they're all Rodney jokes. They're all Rodney jokes changed to martyrs. I was like, oh my, first of all, it's pathetic that I know that. But
we both did, Brian.
Because it's a Jim Kelly favorite, you know? No, oh, my wife likes to talk during sex. Sometimes she calls me from a hotel room.
Oh my God. Yeah. So for the listeners, Matt and Brian I've never met their father, but I have heard a lot of his jokes. They're terrible, but it also explains a lot about why they are the people they are. And so I try to send them dad jokes sometimes in Messenger. It's difficult.
Brian sent us the best example of, we have a siblings chat, and my brother sends us this tweet and he goes, tell me this isn't our dad. And it says, my favorite part of vacation is when my dad wakes up early and then acts like he's better than all of us.
I've been up since 7:30.
But instead of us being like, that's funny, each one of us had our own, or when he does this, or when he does this. Because like my sister's was like, when he waits for the waitress to bring the check to him and then say, oh, one of them is paying. Like...
Or
I think mine was when he clearly had the time of his life on the vacation and then comes home and tells everybody how miserable it was and a waste of money.
Wait, quick question here. What was his childhood like that he loves these ridiculous jokes?
I don't know. My dad is very closed off about his past way more than my mom is. He was like a party animal that would like... he was like the living embodiment of the cast of Dazed and Confused, as far as I can tell. Like, he was a little bit of a stoner, he was a little bit of the like party guys, he was an athlete, like he was everything that Brian and I aren't. So
yeah, I was about to say, like, athlete dad, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Was he ever like, well, you're 9 years old, but you're gonna be playing baseball. Like, because I fucking hate baseball now because I was forced to play it for...
I was forced to play every sport but football.
Yeah, same here. We have multiple soccer, basketball, baseball trophies.
Participation trophies?
All participation. Yeah. I think one time my particular team made it to the finals. But like, it was not because Matt Kelly was on that team.
No.
One day we got home from my sister's basketball game and he proceeded to tell me how disappointed in me he was because there was an open, and this just describes me perfectly. There was an open basketball court where just people could play if they wanted. And a bunch of kids in my grade were shooting basketballs. And he looked down under the bleachers and me and this kid, Sean Cox, were playing with our action figures. And it bothered him so much that an hour later when we got home, he was like, you know, you should have been playing basketball. And if this was a movie, he would have threw my toys out.
Yeah. No, if it was a movie, he would have made you burn them in the backyard.
Yeah.
I have to share a quick little anecdote about my baseball experiences. So as is probably pretty predictable for a kid that grew up in the 80s and 90s, so we were like Douglas Insurance. Because, you know, every fucking Little League team, you know, they're named after whatever company sponsors them for the season, right?
Yeah.
And it was Douglas Insurance. And so, you know, we were the Douglas Insurance Ducks. And and even I knew that was lame. But yeah, we still did.
Hey, man, Ducks can be terrifying.
But the thing is, we were so bad because the way that it worked, and I don't know if this is how your teams worked as well, but the way that it worked in my town was that, and this is fucked up, the winning teams from the previous year got to have first dibs on the roster for the new year. And so all the athletic kids would be on teams because their parents would be like, oh, right?
Yeah, that's fucked. That's not normal.
Yeah, not at all.
But I mean, I grew up in a cornfield and they're probably like, we need our good athletes to practice and play together and be pals, which they all were, so that you can, you know, so that they can make fun of you all through elementary and junior high, so that when you're in high school and you're doing drama and they're doing sports, you're not friends. And so it can look like a movie from the 80s.
Yeah. Jesus.
But yeah, so we were the Douglas Insurance Ducks because that made sense in our reject minds, because we were all the rejects and we won one game that whole year, that whole season. And the head coach wasn't much help because he definitely egged us on to be the Ducks. And he was like trying to make us quack during games and shit. And I was like, but that's hockey. Oh, man, it was awkward as hell. So the horror show is also awkward. Especially when you're having a nice family evening and then you decide to shoot your TV.
Yes. Yeah.
So he pulls an Elvis and he shoots the TV. but right before that, I learned that slow motion laughter is fucking crazy.
Insane.
I was like, why? Why is this happening? This is the scariest part of the movie, is these people laughing in slow motion. This all leads to, you know, dad seems a little off and crazy. Daughter finds dead body. Dad's arrested for murder. He's like, look, he's a ghost. Go talk to this guy. He kind of looks like Jeffrey Combs. Hey, sort of looks like Jeffrey Combs, and Justin Long is dead. Now he looks like a double murder. Things aren't looking good for him. And then he just escapes. It's not even an elaborate escape. He basically just walks out the door.
Yeah. But wait, he walks out of the door of the precinct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so doesn't the ghost come to him?
The ghost
isn't
does
that
come.
How he gets out?
Yeah, I mean, but it's still, like, if you read Wikipedia, because sometimes I'll read Wikipedia to remind me what happened in the movies, and it just says, he escapes from prison. And I'm like, he did not escape from prison. He escaped out of an office by walking out a door.
Yeah. But I did appreciate, like, the 70s over-the-top cop TV show is, like, how everyone talked in that police precinct.
Oh, yeah.
So I know you killed the guy. Listen, Chuck, I know this guy. He wouldn't do it. I got no evidence, but I'm telling you. I've known him 15 years.
There's way too much cop procedural in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so hard to watch. I fast forwarded through a lot of this, I'm going to be honest with you.
That's fine.
I wish I would have. I just tuned out.
So then Lance Hendrickson gets to his house, and there's the psychiatrist's head sitting on a plate in his dining room, and the head just explodes. and then he walks into Freddy Krueger's lair circa 1984 to 1998, and he kills him by electrocuting him some more. And then the movie's over.
I think we're missing a couple really disturbing implications, not the least of which is the fact that we didn't even talk about the fact that you called it Thanksgiving dinner. They were just having Thanksgiving dinner for lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. She does. The son actually does say, it ain't Thanksgiving. She goes, sometimes it's nice to just make a turkey for everybody.
Do you know how much effort goes into making a fucking turkey? It takes like 18 hours to cook.
She's just like, that sounds like fun today. Let me try and keep my PTSD husband from shooting me or choking me.
Yeah.
So I did want to point that out. So now that's out of the way. We can talk about some shit that is really unfortunate and uncomfortable. The shower scene.
Yes.
With the daughter, which is super uncomfortable because she's like, I'm almost 18. Yeah, you're almost 18. And yet we're having this really, there's not even a body double. That's legitimately that girl naked. Now, I understand she wasn't 17, she was probably like 22, but I don't want to see a shower scene where there's a girl who's not supposed to be legal. Yeah. I mean, it's uncomfortable.
Plus, she's only 17.
are you talking about the Warrant song?
Yeah.
She's only 17. Leave the hair metal covers to me, buddy.
I hadn't heard it in like 15 years.
I haven't heard it in like 15 minutes. Even if she's not 17, right? Like, it's weird they would have this daughter character naked, like, for a lot of shots. It's not just an over-the-shoulder while she's doing her hair thing. You see, I think you might see full frontal. It's fucked up. But then we get the electric ghost who implies that he raped both the mom and daughter, right? And then it's implied that he impregnated the daughter. And that's why there's that scene where she's got this like monster baby growing in her belly. But then is it?
I think it's just a dream or one of his own.
It's really uncomfortable. Like, it's not.
It also implies that he kills the son and then the son's just like fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this movie was edited very poorly and they cut a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. It didn't make sense.
Yeah. Like
it was like he was just bluffing.
Yeah.
Also, I killed your son. Let me go check his room. No, don't do that. Don't do that. take my word for it. He's dead. If you go in there, you're going to find his dead body, but just don't go in there right now.
You don't want to see your kid's dead body. Don't you? So I have a note that says, now smash the baby on the table. Okay. So we have pregnant daughter, and then he goes downstairs, and then that's where everybody's dead at the table, and she's holding the baby, right? Mm-hmm. And then he smashes the baby on the table because it's got the ghost face, the electric. What's the killer's name again? Meat Cleaver Max. Oh, God. He's like a baby now, and then he smashes the baby on the table.
God, that name bothers me so much still.
Meat Cleaver Max?
Yeah, it just sounds like if like a shittier like Limp Bizkit Korn style band came out, that'd be like the bassist's name, you know?
Oh, I bet you a dollar that there's some new metal band from the 90s, from 2000, that definitely had, like, Moto Grader. I'm sure that their bass player's name was Meat Cleaver Max. But yeah, I've totally lost the plot here. There's like how he somehow has, he brings the body into the real world and then turns him to Swiss cheese. And so like there's an already dead serial killer's body who's now been shot a bunch, I think, who's on the living room floor. And how do you explain that? But they don't explain anything. Nothing gets explained.
Yeah, it wraps up with a happy ending where they move. And
also, it's kind of fucked up that the dad, that Lance Hendrickson, is like, honey, I forgot something in the basement. Where we found your dead boyfriend. Go check. And she's like, okay, dad, ha ha ha.
I must have just shut my brain off because now that we're talking about it, I just don't remember the last 20 minutes of this movie at all.
It's,
I know I watched it
very
in the credits, but I don't remember anything.
Yeah, it's okay. It's like I said, the last, like I, even for me who enjoys this movie, the last like 20 minutes of this movie is terrible. Like, it does feel like they had no clue how to end it. So they're just like, electrocute him, and the cat's alive, and you know what? We can't kill that kid, so everything's good. Peace.
Keep talking.
I like the fact that, like, they're okay with killing the boyfriend and having him be dead. So we only see a couple deaths. We see the cop buddy at the front top of the movie. We see the woman get her head chopped off. Which is so unbelievable that a meat cleaver would just like whoosh and take her whole head off.
Yeah.
And then we see the boyfriend get killed. So like, oh, and we see the psychologist. So we have four actual deaths in this movie, and everything else is just
hundreds
dreams.
Implied, Scott. He killed hundreds. all right.
Why do they always have to do it that much? Every movie, it's like, oh, the worst serial killer ever. He killed 100 people. Like, the worst serial killer we had killed, like, 39 to 42 people. And I just hate the movies that are just, like, 100. And I know that it's a horror movie, and bear with me, and I hate to be that guy. But these aren't even fucking guys that are, like, trying to be, like, inconspicuous. It's like fucking they leave a poster card that says like Meat Cleaver Max was here and I'll kill again. Like they know the guy. All right, let's just wrap it up because I'm gonna go on a rant.
I was loving that, by the way.
Hey guys, we'll be right back at that episode in just a second, but I wanted to take a couple minutes, not even a minute, less than a minute, probably about 30 to 45 seconds, I believe, is the length of the instrumental that Scott recorded that you're hearing underneath me. Scott's great. You should listen to all of his music. I just wanted to let you guys know that if you haven't already, hop over to patreon.com/HMN podcast. And if you are donating $5, you can listen to our new bonus episode, and it is on UHF. You can also listen to the back catalog of episodes. We're up to 4 Patreon bonus episodes now. We've talked about Turbo Kid and the Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension and the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man. And this month, as I've already said, UHF. Now, back to the episode. So what did you guys watch this week?
I'll start because I have a feeling people are going to get upset. And I should start by saying, I know I probably shouldn't have liked this movie, but I really like this movie. I watched The Voices with Ryan Reynolds, where he is a serial killer.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I thought that they kind of didn't have a good it wasn't a great transition, which I can understand why people wouldn't like it, but made me like it more, where it's like, oh, this is like a really lighthearted, goofy comedy, and then it just got like really fucking dark.
Yeah.
Like uncomfortably dark.
It's very jarringly dark, but I think it works because it also it's shocking and jarring for him as a person, as the character.
Yeah, and I'm not going to give any spoilers, but the one thing that I really didn't like about the movie was they pulled a 40-year-old virgin where it just ended on a musical number, which really just threw off the whole movie. But other than that, I really liked the movie.
You know what's so funny is that I started watching that movie months ago. I mean, it was like last year at some point, and I didn't get to the end. I didn't finish it. I was like, this is interesting enough, but then it does take that turn, and I was just like, eh. I didn't ever get back to it. I was like, oh, I'll get back to it, and then I forgot about it. But, I mean, I guess I'm happy that you mention it here so that I don't go back and have to do a musical number ending.
Yeah.
I saw 2 movies in the theaters during my travels, and I saw The Incredibles 2, which was fantastic. If you're a fan of the first Incredibles, it's definitely worth watching. Very good villain, which is just cool to say. Like, they got a very cool superhero villain going in there. And I saw the Mr. Rogers documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor, which...
Oh, was we're watching that tonight.
Oh, it is... Get a box of tissues, dude. It
God
is just,
damn it. Damn it.
So the best quote that I heard was Jonathan London said, "It's an experiment in how much kindness can a human being handle." Like, it's just... Every second of that, you're just like, God, he really was just the sweetest guy. Like, there's like a quote from his son at one point where he just says, like, yeah, it's really tough when your dad is literally the second incarnation of Jesus Christ. Like, it's just like, yeah, like, it's just like, he is just such a good dude. And it is very, like, heavy to watch. But I loved it. I recommend it to everyone. I won't get into the nitty-gritty details of like the personal thing that happened to me that made me cry my fucking eyes out, but I did see it in a theater in Rhode Island, which was very, very cool because it was this old, I think it was called the Avon Theater or Avon Cinema, but it was a single theater, old movie theater from the 30s that has been refurbished to look exactly how it used to look in the 30s. So like, you walked in and bought your tickets at the concession stand and then just walked into the big doors, and they had the red velvet curtain in front of the screen, and they would play old jazz records, and then when the movie would start, they'd play the Let's All Go to the Lobby song and all that stuff. So that also helped, was that it was a really cool atmosphere to see the movie in.
Wow.
I finally got a chance to, I mean, and finally, as in I've been looking forward to this for months, and it only took me a week of it being on VOD to see it. So I finally watched The Endless, which is the third movie from the guys that did Resolution and Spring.
Yeah.
I liked it very much, although I don't like it as much as Spring. And I liked it more than Resolution, which I really did not enjoy Resolution. We discussed that for Reddit Horror Club years ago. I don't think that there was an actual episode, but I think that we had a discussion on it. I just don't know if we recorded an episode. But I had some major qualms with that film in general. But I liked the way that they wove the narrative of all three movies together. It's really cool to see a low budget universe. You know, like they have it's all happens in the same universe, which is cool. Like the the movies all kind of interlock in interesting ways, some more subtle than others. But yeah, it's a small universe and it's cool. I thought that they did a great job with a very limited budget, as they always do. But I think that Spring was better just in general. It's more my kind of movie. The Endless, I've been thinking about a lot, which like the implications of it. Matt, do you remember Resolution?
I don't think I ever watched it. I think that's why we didn't do the episode, was I had trouble finding a copy of it or something.
I won't spoil anything then. I highly recommend everybody watch them in chronological order. So you watch Resolution, and then you watch Spring, and then you watch The Endless. And The Endless was like $3 or $4 on VOD on Amazon. It's like nothing. It's so cheap to watch, and it's definitely worth your time. And they make long movies, the two guys that do it. Like, those movies are 1 hour and 45 to 2 hours long. They're lengthy, but they don't ever feel like they drag. Their pacing is pretty good, even though the pace is slower. But yeah, there's some implications from Resolution that really bothered me in like a good way, in a horror way, that are kind of painted in a broader light in The Endless, and I really appreciate that. So really good movie. But then I watched two really bad two other movies that were bad in other ways. So I watched Malevolence from something like 2006 or something.
I almost watched that. I'm glad I didn't.
You really should not. So I watched it because Shockwaves did their 100th episode a while back, and Rebecca put it on as one of the 100. And I was like, huh, I always passed over that because it looked mediocre. It looked like a nothing forgettable movie. And I watched it because they spoke so highly of it. And that means all four of them liked it. And I hated it. I thought that it was the most derivative bullshit I've ever seen. So, I mean, I usually agree with Becca. Like, she likes Silent Night, Deadly Night 4. I like Silent Night, Deadly Night 4. But I really want that hour and a half of my life back, because it was all the shit that you like about Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Friday the 13th thrown in a blender. And then they strained out all the nutrients, and you're just left with like bullshit. It tastes and looks like that stuff, but there's no value to it. It just seems very derivative. I was very upset by it. So I had high expectations. They were all dashed against the rocks. So, and then I watched Dead Girl. And Matt, do you remember we talked about this in Reddit Horror Club?
Yes, I do remember Dead Girl. Not a fan.
Oh my god. So Brian, have you seen Dead Girl?
I have not.
Don't watch it. I think I lied and said that I watched it when we talked about it on Reddit Horror Club, because I did that a couple times. I specifically remember doing that a couple times, and I think this is one of those times. It's these trailer trash dudes find a zombie girl tied up in the basement of this abandoned asylum, and she becomes their rape toy. It is as bad as you. I mean, it's as dark as you can imagine, and not in a good way. It made me feel like the time that I watched one scene from a Serbian film, because I have never watched a Serbian film. I've watched one scene, and it fucked me up for a day. So, I don't recommend Dead Girl at all. It's gross. It's very, very nihilistic. It's not poorly made. It's well made. It's well acted, but it just makes you feel really gross.
Yeah, and, can't do it.
Yeah, it's also just a movie about rape. I don't know why I put myself through that. I do like the fact that the girl, the love interest of the quote unquote protagonist/anti-hero of the movie, there's this one part at the end where he's like, I love you, I'm going to save you, and she's just like, grow the fuck up.
I can't watch that stuff. Yeah, Jane didn't touch me for 2 weeks after we watched a Serbian film.
You actually watched that together?
Yeah, and I had to like drive it home that I was like, I wasn't fully like, I didn't enjoy this movie. Please don't like, please don't think that this is my type of movie that I wanted to show you.
But what bums me out about Dead Girl is that the guy who made that movie, who wrote it, is a, like, I was a fan of him as a person. He's a trauma guy originally. He was in Terra Firma, and he wrote Citizen Toxie, Toxic Avenger 4. And he like ended up playing Killjoy in the Killjoy movies. And like he wrote in a bunch of Lloyd Kaufman's books, and he always came off as like this really cool down to earth guy in those books. And then the first two movies he writes when he gets out of trauma was Dead Girl and Cheap Thrills, which are both movies that make me very uncomfortable. So
God, we had to talk about Cheap Thrills on Red Club too. I hate it.
Yeah, like I was like, man, go back to doing schlock. Like I liked him when he was writing schlock, like the Toxic Avenger, and like I think he's trying to be too edgy, and it upsets me.
But it's like not just edgy to be edgy. It's really just super dark underbelly of the world. Life is garbage and meaningless kind
which
of
Cheap Thrills was about too. Like you can tell that he is a very nihilistic person. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking about nihilistic, we watched Horror Show from 1989. Feel free to send us some emails at hmnpodcast@gmail.com. Have you seen this movie? What were your thoughts? Let us know. Please let us know all of the things that you enjoy about our show. So maybe we'll do another mailbox episode one day. We will be doing, I think, one more episode, and then it's time for the Listener Submit It Month. So we've gotten all your submissions. We have picked the movies, and we are very excited to discuss them. Be sure that you hit up our Patreon account at patreon.com/HMN podcast, and that you are just checking out all the cool shit that we do at HMNpodcast.com. Feel free to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes and all of that other good stuff that we're supposed to say and always forget to. We will be back next week with a brand new, like a fairly new movie picked by Scott. We recorded this when we were all face to face with each other in October. In Ohio in June. I am very tired. But we recommend that you maybe watch the movie in advance. So I'm going to do a rare thing where I say what we're talking about. We're going to be talking about the movie Patchwork. It's on Netflix. Over this next week, you should absolutely watch it because it is a very spoiler-filled review of a very good movie worthy of your time. We'll be back next week.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.